Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. What a privilege. What an honor to be called your very own. Thank you, Lord, because it is not of him that willeth. It is not of him that runneth. It is of God who shows mercy. The battle is not for the strong. The race is not for the swift. Favor is not for the men of skill. But it's just your mercy and just your grace. We are not where we are doing what we are doing because we are better than others. It's your calling, it's your grace, and it's your mercy. Be thou glorified in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. A bigger, bigger clap and a louder shout of praise. The biggest clap and the loudest shout of praise. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Ndi mozibini gwe hanasi hallelujah hanasi hallelujah Jehovah omeriwo Mbini ozibinigwe Hanasi halelu Hanasi halelu Jehova Omeriwo
worship your master. Honor to your name. We see things around the world that humbles us and gives us nothing but praise and honor to God. Just returned back from Zambia yesterday, and I bring you greetings from Zambia. Everywhere we have gone, later on they'll show you the clip, but if you have the little crusade ground clip, Everywhere we had gone, the same reception, the same excitement, the same power. The vice president of Zambia, that was not Lagos, Nigeria, or Port Harcourt, Nigeria, or Makurdi, Benue State, or Otukpo. That boy has not worked since he was born. That boy was born crippled. The one, this boy. Went to hug his mother. The vice president of that country said, "I feel highly excited to see you in person. I have only watched you, and now I am seeing you." The mayor of the city of Lusaka was there. Several other high-ranking officials were there. Incredible. The whole earth is ripe. All that is happening, that's her right there. All that is happening is for us to rush in. Rush in. Rush in. The Zambian church is starting this morning. Germany church, Frankfurt, Germany, is starting this morning. Holland Church, Amsterdam, is starting next month. Not month after that, in November, we should be in Houston, Texas, in America, also for an outreach. The same week, we might be in Colombia, in South America. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. All I can say to you is, don't just watch. Be a part of what is going on. Be a part of it in prayers. And for some of us, that God will make solid enough financially, you can pay your way and go for some of the crusades. In addition to that, be a part of it through giving. When we were returning back yesterday, after a morning session, you see, there is a way you can do program on Saturday in one country and still be in church on Sunday, right? Some of the people who saw us off to the airport said, "It takes us 2 days to come to Nigeria. That is, you fly from Lusaka to Addis Ababa in Ethiopia and then sleep overnight and then go to another place and stay for 5 hours, and then before you come, there's no direct flight. But you finish ministering and you're on your way back, 4.5, 5 hours flight to meet church on Sunday." That is why resources is needed for the gospel. It's not for luxury, it's not for anything, but just to ensure that so much is done in a short time. Somebody say a loud amen. But in a time to come, very soon, many of us here, you will fly your own aircrafts to the crusades around the world. And you'll be able to have enough resources to do that. You believe that? Shout the loudest. Amen. We're going to thank the Lord shortly for this crusade. But wave your hands and give him the praise and give him the honor. I forgot to tell you that people came for that meeting from all around. They came from the UK for the Zambian meeting. They came from Mozambique, came from Tanzania, came from South Africa, they came from Botswana, they came from Angola, they just came from everywhere. That's Zambia there. Incredible. It's welcoming us at the airport. all their provinces represented. Give the Lord a big clap. We'll look at that after the service. God bless you, choir. Please have your seat. Praise the Lord. Very, very quickly, we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 4. Charity or love suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, in the truth. He beareth all things, believeth all things, and hopeth all things, endureth all things. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. It's our month of overflowing grace and glory through godly character. This morning, we are going to look at the character of love. The character of love. It is important for us to note, and our objective this morning is to understand what love is all about. I believe that the greatest crisis in our world today is the crisis of lack of love. The bankruptcy of love, the shortage of love. Love within the nations, love within the homes, love within the marriages, love, just love bankruptcy. This world will be literally like heaven on earth if love flowed as it should. But this is what is important to note first, that the basic nature of God is love. God is love. The basic nature of God is love. 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Second, Jesus Christ is the expression of the love of the Father. He is the expression of the love of the Father. In John chapter 3 and in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved the world, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Third, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 7. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, talking about the Holy Spirit, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. Number four, to walk in love is to fulfill the law. In Romans chapter 13 and in verse 10, the Bible says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. You don't need to know thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. You don't need to remember that if you remember love. That guy who took somebody's purse containing ATM cards, containing international passport, containing all the things, is a bankruptcy of any trace of love. Because what is bothering that person beyond even the little money inside are those vital documents. If you know how it feels for somebody to lose such things, you can't take them. That is why the crisis, I said, in the world today is a crisis of lovelessness. Love created the world. Because God created the world. If God is love, then in the beginning, love created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the spirit of love moved upon the face of the waters. And love said, let there be light. You see, if God is love, and God said, then love said. If love created the world can only run on love. The deficiency of love is the reason for the calamities on the earth. If love created the earth can only run on love. Love in the home, love in the nation, love in the family, love in the organization. Having said all of that, what is love all about? Number one, love is affectionate and compassionate feeling towards others. Affectionate and compassionate feeling. In love, there is affection. In love, there is compassion. 1 Corinthians 13 and in verse 4. Love is kind. Suffering long is kind. It's affectionate feeling. People who walk in love, they have feeling. Human feeling. People who lack love, lack feeling. They lack feeling. When you have leadership of a nation that are zero in love, it doesn't matter what happens to the people. They can kill people to go to power. The same people they are going to rule, to lead, to govern, they waste them, shed their blood. Send them to kill themselves and kill other people to go into power. Am I communicating at all? No feeling. No feeling. At the leadership conference in Zambia, the vice president of the nation said, Pastor, you were talking to me and talking to us. Maybe you should listen to the message. So she sat down and said, am I the only one this man is talking to? He said, because we are the ones who go about to try to give people money so they can vote for us. With the political class. Love. What is your feeling towards your wife, towards your husband, towards your children? What is your compassion towards your employees, towards those you work with? It's a confirmation of the presence or the absence of love. Number two, love is the heartfelt display of interest in the welfare of others. You display interest in the welfare of others. How others are faring bothers you. It's the heartfelt display of interest in the welfare of others. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 2 to 4. See, it says, fulfilling my joy. that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Another translation maybe can give us a better rendering of verse 4. The heartfelt display of interest in the welfare of others. How others are faring bother you. That was it. Don't merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Someone say aloud, amen. You know? All right, let me read that. Don't get obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend the helping hand. Can't stop there. You know, we live in a world today. You see, Joseph came to the prison and saw two prisoners, the butler and the baker. Their countenances were sad. He was also a prisoner. He had his own problem. But he looked away from his own problem to the prisoner's problem and said, excuse me, sirs, you people are not looking fine today. Is there any problem? Let me know. I know we are all prisoners, but I'm concerned. And they said, oh yes, we dreamt a dream last night and no interpretation. So, oh no, interpretation belongs to God. Let me know and I will assist you. That was how Joseph assisted them. And in the long run, assisted his own destiny. Because the people whose dreams he interpreted, later on recommended him or remembered him to Pharaoh. That occasioned the interpretation of his own dreams. Am I communicating? The world has become so selfish that a neighbor is dying beside a neighbor and they are not aware. I read a book some time back where a lady in a neighborhood was stabbed like 30 something times. In the view of neighbors who stood and were watching. Maybe they are afraid to go and intercept, or maybe they are afraid of being killed. How many people died before their time because nobody cared? Take your seat. People will sit beside each other in church and you don't care that that person is not smiling. Because of the praise, worship, all the dancing, all the celebration, the person is frowning. No concern. No question, are you okay? Is there something wrong? Was there a challenge overnight? No concern. People share office in offices and they don't care what is the lot of the other person. This guy that used to dress to the office very sharp is now dressing so drab and almost hair is not kept. And you can't ask a question. The calamity of our generation is nobody cares. Nobody cares for the fortunes and the welfare of the other person. I came the other day and I was told, and then a security man was looking so distracted. Here. And I said, what's going on? Are you all right? And somebody told me, he said, his wife was pregnant and just had cesarean session. Okay, all right. So, are you all right? Everything okay? Oh, yeah, there's a balance of money to pay for that operation. Like 150 or something. Oh, it's done. Tomorrow, get the money. If we didn't ask, we would not know. And then he will be there under pressure. His salary may not be able to handle that or that the whole process. But there should be somebody who cares enough to ask and to be able to handle the situation. I Are you following what I'm saying here today? One man who is just a reckless man decided to abandon his wife. And I don't understand why a man will abandon his wife and abandon children as well. If your wife offended you, did children offend you? Your wife offended you, did children offend you? Innocent children that wouldn't have come into this world except that you brought them by your activities. Your action brought them. All right? I cannot understand. I was talking to a woman the other day. This man is in touch of money, millions and billions, but he has not paid his children's school fees for 4 years. So I told one of the another family now where that has to say, I said, if your father said he won't pay your school fees, come, we'll help you. So I started paying the school fees. After I paid for a while, I said the man now has returned back that he said he will start paying. I said, okay, you can start. Now the child called again. I said, the man has stopped. He said he won't pay again. I said, we'll continue from where we stopped. Maybe the head is, I don't understand. Am I communicating? I don't want us to preach theoretical message. Let life is practical. Let's just practicalize these things. Just be concerned. Just be interested. Your wife is, a man's wife was almost dead before he knew that the woman was sick. They were in the same house. The woman was almost dead before this man knew that this girl was sick. This wife was sick. Because there was a Jezebel in the corner that took this man's heart and took everything. You know what the man told his wife after a long time? He said to the woman, you know what? I don't think we can live together anymore. That's what he told the wife. All the property I have, anything you want, take. Then you can go. He has found either secretary or something in his life that he wants to use to replace his wife. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Anything I have, everything I have. Take anything you want and just leave me. The woman was wondering, what is this? What has come on this man? After the man kept on talking like that, the woman said, all right, you know the way you carried me in your hand when you married me on the wedding day? Carry me like that again, like 30 days every day. And then I will let you go. So the man thought to himself, to carry you, if to carry you means to you will leave me, oh, that's easy. He carried the woman at once and she was completely weightless. What happened? And as he carried her like that for almost 30 days, the union and the chemistry began to return. And by the time he was through and his heart has returned back to his wife, the wife said, you know what? You know why I said you should carry me? I want to forgive you before I die. I don't want to die with bitterness. The doctor told me I have so many days to live, and this is my condition. She had a terminal disease and she was going to die. But she wanted to bond with the man and have that closeness and forgive the man before she died. And they were in the same house and the man was not aware. That will never be your portion. That will never be your portion. That will never be your portion. You may be big. You may be small. You may be rich. Whatever you are, please be interested. Try to find out the person close to you, your wife. That's a question my wife will never get tired of hearing from me. Are you all right? How many times I asked you such a question yesterday? Are you okay? Everything is okay. How many times did you hear such a question yesterday? You can't count. In the course of the flight, are you okay? Is everything all right? Something I need to help you with? It's not pretense. Because if you are drunk enough, you will manifest it consciously. It is pretense if you are doing it in front of people. Only in front of people. And she asked the same question. If the countenance is a little bit somehow, because if somebody is smiling all the time and there is some non-smiling seasons, you want to find out if there is anything wrong. And if whatever is wrong, you are the cause. Praise the Lord. It will make life easy for us, sir. It will make life easy for yourself. It will dissolve tension around your life. It will dissolve tension around the people of your life. You will be a good company to hang around. I tell my wife, I say, you don't have to follow me everywhere. You say, but I like your company. That is the truth. You don't have to follow me everywhere. You say, but I want your company. Even after service now, I jump into my car. I say, hey, your own car is waiting now. He said, let me just follow you and just tell you my encounter from the service. what I experienced in the service, let me share it with you on the way driving. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If you were a brutal being, a heartless person, you don't care about the people of your life. Nobody wants your company. They run away when they see you coming. I pray that I'm able to finish this message today, because when I was looking at the subject of character, it's so plenty. And I realize if we handle this one, we have handled them still. If we handle this one, so the first thing we have said today, what love is all about, it is affectionate, compassionate feeling. Number two is heartfelt display of interest in the welfare of others. Number three, love is putting yourself in the shoes of others and relating with them from that perspective. Putting yourself in the shoes of others and relating with them from that perspective. Putting yourself in the shoes of others and relating with them from that perspective. Putting yourself in the shoes of others and relating with them from that perspective. If I was a leader, how would I want the led to relate with me? If I was a follower, how would I want my leader to relate with me? If I was a husband, how would I want my wife? We put ourselves in the shoes of others. In Mark chapter 12 and in verse 30 and 31. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. He said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is likely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Put yourself in the shoes of others. Put yourself in the shoes of others. Governor of state, president of country, local government councilor, chairman. The people that you are leading, if you are the one being led, what would you expect from your leader? Release it for them. Husband, if you are the one that has to attend to the kitchen, attend to the children, carry pregnant 9 months. Husband, if you are the one that has to carry pregnancy for 9 months, attend to the children, bath them, run around for their school things, attend to the kitchen. How would you want your husband to treat you if you are the wife? Husband, treat your wife with that mentality. Am I communicating? Just picture yourself. Both of us went to church. Both of us returned. And then we are at home now and I'm screaming, where is my food? Where is this? Where is that? We went to church together. Maybe I cooked the food before we went to church. So all I need to do is to warm it when we return back so that husband can have. But husband is not patient. Where is my food? Where is this? Where is that? We went to church together. Maybe while we were in church, I should have been cooking the food in the spirit. Are you following? If we put ourselves in the shoes of others, we will just calm down. I tell our pastors, say, treat church people gently. And especially those who come to receive counseling. I said, the reason why you are not the one looking for counseling is God. You know, there are people who don't have churches. Is that right? There are people in this world, as we are now, there are those playing football now, who are doing, they don't have any pastor. There are people without pastor. But is it possible to say, I am a pastor without people? You say, you are a pastor. Who are you pastoring? So, no, that is my calling. Where is your congregation? None. I'm just a pastor. You are not a pastor. You are just a posture. You are not a pastor. You are an impostor. You are not. There can be people without churches, but there cannot be churches without people. The reason why the church exists is not the pastor. The church exists because of the people. Am I communicating? So, pastor, be careful. Just calm down and treat the people with compassion and empathy. You know how healing and deliverance service started? People were coming for different counselings. This one has this problem, this one had that problem, and it became too much. We didn't know how to counsel. Okay, everybody come together at once in one service. That was how it started. So that we can minister to everybody at the same time. Because the crowd of people coming for one by one problem was too much. We put ourselves in the shoes of others. Husband, put yourself in the shoes of your wife. You will respect her more. You will relate. As for me, I know I can't carry pregnancy. Me, I can't carry pregnancy. 9 months, I should be patient. And just moving slowly like that for 9 months. And you are just, another person is growing inside you, and you are just lying down there and just wake up in the morning and you are wondering whether it is morning or afternoon. I can't operate like so the one who can carry it deserves respect. The one who can carry it deserves respect. Okay, if I say I'm powerful, let me carry pregnancy, let me see. The one who can carry it deserves respect. I am telling you practical. See, I said, my honey, thank you so much for how you are taking care of the children. You traveled all the way to their school. You went here, you went there. I just want to appreciate. This is verbal. You can't say I'm the one paying the school fees. Okay, you pay the school fees, go to the school, let's see. And she said, but it's our children, they belong to us. I say, yes, that is the more reason why I should thank you. Because both of us should be doing what you are doing. Both of us should be doing what you are doing. Both of us should be running around. When it is time to fill school form or anything related to school, they don't branch near me at all. The children, they don't branch near me at all. At times I come, I meet them talking and his school talk. She's on phone for a long time and they are talking one thing or the other. They know that it is not my... It's not my jurisdiction. If you want to entertain dog, do you give him cola nut? No, it's not. In fact, the attention they may get is not going to be much. Because if you be talking to me, I open the Bible or start something. Hallelujah. So you know what you can do, you know what the other person can do, and then you put yourself in the shoes of others. I can tell you, if we are going to do that in the marriage context, we are going to do that in the leadership context, it is going to change a lot. I see change coming for someone here in the name of Jesus Christ. Now the time I set is gone and I have not gone even halfway. Put yourself in the shoes of others. Number 4, love is shielding others from every form of harm, hurt, pain, or any other form of negative experience. In love, you shield others from harm, from hurt, from pain, or any other form of negative experience. When a man walks in love, you won't be the source of somebody's pain. When a person walks in love, you won't be the source of somebody's hurt. When you walk in love, you won't be the reason for somebody's negative experience. Romans chapter 13 verse 10. He said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. When you walk in love, you are not the reason for somebody's pain. You are not the reason for somebody's hurt. You are not the reason for somebody's harm. Like they say of some people, you can't even hurt a fly. That's where practical love is. Where love is absent, people are excited when people are in pain. They're excited. They contribute to pain. They contribute to hurt. They contribute to harm. That is what makes criminals. People are crying and that's okay for them. This man and this man did a business. Something went wrong. And then he killed the other man. He sent assassins after him. He doesn't care that this man has a wife that will mourn forever for her husband. This man has children, has a mother, has a father, has brothers, has relations. That this one action will affect so many people. He doesn't care because he's heartless and loveless. Am I communicating? There are criminals that are excited in the pains of people and it's a demonic spirit. The same with leadership in lands. The land is perishing, they don't care. People are dying. One officer told me some time ago that they arrested a kidnapper. Terrible, one of those terrible, notorious kidnappers. And he was telling them stories that actually the ransom that they asked for, they are not the ones who have the ransom. Oh yes, no. That they paid them only 30,000 or 40,000 per person. That they don't have the ransom. The ransom is some other people who have the ransom. I'm sure you are aware of some arrest that is going on right now. Some wicked, heartless, demonic people. People are dying and they are busy collecting money in millions. But judgment has already started in our nation. And they will never escape it. No matter how high they are, they will never escape it.
If you believe that, say louder, amen. I said some time ago that there are some people, until their wife cry, they are not happy yet. They will keep quarreling until the woman say, what did I do to you? Say, stop crying crocodile tear. It is their joy. Their power has been expressed. The madam has finally cried. But they are yet not satisfied. Keep on crying. What a man. A man or a machete. Wedlock that became padlock. Jail. Prison. Fine looking, smiley young lady or young man as the case may be, turned into a shadow of themselves because of who walked into their lives. Please look well when you are going to get married. Not all that glitters is gold. Look well. The love is blind. Because some people just blindly enter into something they are not sure of. But marriage can open eye. It can cure that blindness. Suddenly your eyes open. You say, wow, is this the kind of person I married? That is why we talk about courtship. You should get some days, some months, and understudy who you want to marry. Just try to know. And pray to God that is, you know, when people are in courtship, I tell them, any kind of habit you have, manifest it now. So that the other person can make up their mind. Don't hide it. Just manifest. You know how people manifest when we are praying for them? This one should not be prayer. Just manifest voluntarily. If you know how to be angry, release that temper at the highest level so that the person can see what is about to enter. When we were in courtship, my wife, to be then, I visited her in the doctor's quarters and she served me food, pounded yam or garri, whatever, that is like the size of half of my fist. Because she does not eat. So what she gave me was double of what she will eat. And when I looked at it, I said, this is for what? This is for what? What am I to do with this? He said, it is your food. I said, for where? If you multiply this thing by 5 or by 10, by the time you multiply it 5 times, I haven't started yet. Because I don't eat a lot, but when I eat, I eat. Especially at that time. Now, if it's some people, they will be pretending now. I don't eat too much. They will even leave balance. They will even remain behind so that they can have respect. That was how we settled that matter at that foundation. Just manifest now. Don't hide anything. Just whatever capacity you have. Praise the Lord. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, may I contribute to the joy of my generation. Everyone who comes into contact with my life, let me contribute to their joy, to their pleasure. Father, I will not be an instrument of pain in the life of anybody. I won't be an instrument of pain, of hurt, of harm in anybody's life. Look at Zambia Church right there. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. That's a very big church on day one.
Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise.
Wow. Wow. Give the Lord a big, big clap of hands. Zambians, God bless you. Did any of you get that song that we sang there? Did you get that song? Oh, the best thing was to have learnt it before today. All right, we'll take it. Give the Lord a big clap of hands.
Ayenera matamato, ayenera, ayenera, ayenera matamando, ayenera, ayenera, ayenera matamando, ayenera.
Give the Lord the praise. We'll get on the drum and sing it. That was one of the songs we imported from there. Give the Lord a big clap of hand as you take your seat. Love is not contributing to the heart. As we live here today, ask your wife, ask your husband, am I a pain in your life? Is there any area that you want me to adjust myself? Ask them. Ask the people of your life. That is number four. Number five. Love is looking out for and celebrating the best in others. Looking out for and celebrating the best in others. Not looking out for and magnifying the worst in others. You are looking out for and celebrating the best in others. You are focused on what people can do, not what they can't do. You are focused on the best in others, not the worst. It's magnifying. Looking out for the best, celebrating the best in others. Not looking out and magnifying the worst in others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 4, the scriptures made it clear. He said, charity envieth not, is kind. Now, in the journey of love, when you see good things in people, you are not moved to envy. You are genuinely excited. Hatred is the foundation for envy. Hatred is the foundation for jealousy. It is a matter of, why is he the one I am and I am not the one? Why should she be the one and it is not me? Why should they have it and I don't have it? Why are they there and I am not there? You look out for. Please, let's do that. When you look at people, don't start criticizing how they are dressed. Don't start criticizing what they can't do. Don't look at the worst in them. Now, people have sent me music albums and singles and this and that, and they say, can you listen to it for me and let me know? And I've listened to some of the singings and some of them and the instrumentation and all that. No matter how horrible the sound is, I encourage the person by letting them know they have made a great effort. Because not everybody is able to put a song together or put a music together or even do any recording at all. That is the first thing I will do. This is great effort. By the time I finish with that, I can just say, okay, so tighten up the instrumentation a bit or instrumental a bit or this or that a bit. Just tighten this or that a bit. I will say that. Not in a negative, derogatory sense. There are some people, by the time they finish with you, you don't believe in yourself. How many of you know that kind of people? By the time they finish talking to you, by the time they finish advising you, you are worthless in your eyes. That is the heart of the devil. That is the agenda of darkness. Jesus came to lift people off, not to pull them down. That is the reason for the cross, to cross us over from negativity to positivity, to cross us over from adversity to advantage. Is there somebody crossing over here? Shout the loudest, amen. Is there somebody crossing over here? Shout the loudest, amen. Love is complementary, just complementary. Do it
with character, with integrity, looking out for the best in people. Love is looking out. Number six, love is never self-centered, egocentric, and self-opinionated. It's never self-centered, egocentric, and self-opinionated. Love is not self-focused and self-absorbed. The meaning of that is that love has allowance for others. Allowance for the inputs and the issues of others. There is allowance. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 15, the A part, it says that the love thinketh not his own. It thinketh not his own. 1 Corinthians 13, 5. And then Philippians 2 and in verse 4. Seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. And then he said, let everyone look at the things of others. You know, there are people who behave as if the whole world is about them. Have you ever spoken with people before? And before you can finish speaking, it's like, it is I, me, I, myself. The vocabulary is filled with themselves like. I'm sure you remember how Satan, he said, how art thou fallen? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Thou Lucifer, son of the morning, which didst weaken the nation. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Five times. Now people that are self-absorbed, self-focused, egocentric. You are face to face with loveless people with the character of Satan, and they can't have people in their lives. A young lady, she's middle-level qualification, like OND, NCE kind of qualification, married to a man who was working in government, a degree holder, who is like some level of, maybe as some director level or something, around level 14, 15, thereabout. And this man allowed this woman to carry the burden of the house. What brought the camels back? One day they were coming from a trip and they saw yam on the road. And he said, honey or darling or whatever, can we buy yam for the house? And the man said he doesn't have money. So they stopped and the young lady, who is just middle level qualification but industrious and working and hardworking, she bought the yams and the things, and they went home. After they reached home, dropped the food and so on. Later on, she was entering the room and saw the man. The moment the man saw her coming, he began to hide money that he had in his possession. He was hiding the money, hiding it away, hiding it away. And the girl said, Haba, what kind of life is this? Money to buy food. Food that you will eat. You have the money, you are hiding it. He has the money to use to buy cloth. He has the money to use to buy food. He has the money to send to friends. The Bible says anyone who cannot take care of his own has rejected the faith is worse than an atheist. Worse than an infidel. That is, he shouldn't call himself a Christian. I'm doing ushering work. I'm doing protocol work and this and that. You can't take care of wife. Take care of children. Protocol yourself first. Usher your life first. Choir yourself first. It's just a nauseating thing. The children know that you are a heartless, brutal man, and you are yet running up and down, calling yourself a church worker. What is it? There are people whose children will never serve God Because they saw how their father was pretending to be serving God. They saw how their parents was pretending to be going to church. They come home and they are criticizing everybody, insulting everybody, and doing everything. And then Sunday, it's a church leader. Say this and that. And children say, this is how church is. I can't pretend. I can't live like that. Let them behave the way they want. I'm not going to my father's church, my mother's church. I have to look for my own church. And then they live their own lives. Am I communicating? It doesn't happen by accident. Self-centered, self-absorbed. You have money to look after yourself. Some will eat pepper soup outside and go to a joint and eat their favorite meal. And children are looking for food at home. It's growing pot belly. Please, I'm sorry in case you have balance brought forward. I'm not trying to, I'm just sorry. Because there are some people it is follow come from what I heard. That is, it follow them come. It's not too much food or anything, it's just follow come. Full option. That is not what I'm saying. I think reality must be told. How can food have taste in your mouth? Your wife has not eaten, your children have not eaten. Your mother in the village is suffering. And you are chewing off your hand. How? What kind of heart is that? If my children don't have and my wife don't have, it means there is not one naira in my account. It means there is none. And that day will never come. For a start, I don't have a check of mine in my possession. That's my personal decision. It's in the possession of my wife. Every check that is mine. But she can't sign it because it needs my signature. So, in case you say it's not a risk, she can't sign it. And of course, she's trusted. Now, that cannot apply to every wife. I think it's good to balance it. Because there are some wives, you just finish yourself. If you try that, you have ended yourself. He will connive with his brother and sister. Say, this man is a rich man. He may find another woman later. Let's empty his money now. Hallelujah. So that no woman will harass any man at home and say, can you give me all your checks? Didn't you hear what the pastor said? Tell the woman, let me prove you first. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did somebody receive anything today? Please, in all that we do, just give. When you see somebody talking and he doesn't want another person to make no room for another person to say anything, it's a challenge. You are in discussion with your wife, you are in discussion with your colleagues, and you are the only one talking. There is no room, no allowance for any other person to say anything. There's something wrong. There is something wrong. God gave us one mouth and two ears so that to speak, you hear twice. Hear twice, and then you speak once, instead of talking and talking and talking all the time. Very, very important. That is, love is never self-centered. It's never self-opinionated. It's never egocentric. It has allowance for others. Otherwise, that is a selfish life that does not have a future. And finally, number 13, love is patient. What did I say? Number 7, love is patient. Love is durable. Love is for the long haul. Love is patient. Love is durable. It's durable.
You love your wife, you love your husband, it's durable, it's for the long haul. That was the first thing we saw in 1 Corinthians 13, for love is patient and love is kind. Love is durable, love is durable, love is durable, love is durable. Lust is not durable, it's very transient. Infatuation is not durable, it's very transient. Every other thing, they are not durable, but love is durable, love is patient. Love is for the long haul. The meaning of that is love will not give up in a hurry. Your wife made one mistake, you gave up on her. No. Husband made one mistake, you gave up on him. No. It's durable. It doesn't give up in a hurry. Especially within the marriage context. Love is patient means that love waits for the best to come out. That this husband of mine can become better still. This wife can become better still. Because many are not patient with love. There are so many divorces, so many separations, so many broken down relationships. Even though there are those, the more you love, the more they hate. The more you try to love, the more they prove to you that you are wasting your time. In that kind of situations, you allow God to take charge and take control, and you face your front. You know, those who refuse to respond to God's love, many of them are in hell now. God loved them, they refused. God loved them, they rejected. God loved them, they just did their things. But on a general note, love is patient, is durable. It expects the best. Don't give up on your child, your daughter, your boy that is trying to stray. It's patient. Having said all of this, very quickly, our time is gone. What are the products of love? When I walk in love. So what have we said so far? Please place it back on the screen. Let's look at it. Love is affectionate and compassionate. Number two, love is the heartfelt display of interest in the welfare of others. Number three, love is putting yourself in the shoes of others and relating with them from that perspective. Number four, love is shielding others from harm, from hurt, from pain, and any other form of negative experience. Number five, love is looking out for and celebrating the best in others, not looking out for or magnifying the worst in others. Number six, love is never self-centered, egocentric, and self-opinionated. And number seven, love is patient and durable. Now, if I walk in love, what do I expect to experience? Number one, walking in love is walking in the nature of God. And that is walking in the supernatural, naturally. Walking in love is walking in the nature of God. And that is walking in the supernatural, naturally. Because God is love, as from what we know in the book of 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, God is love. God is love. So if I walk in love, I am walking in the supernatural naturally. Walking in love is walking in the supernatural naturally. Number two, walking in love is walking effortlessly in faith. Is walking effortlessly in faith. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 6, the Bible said, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which walketh by love. Faith walketh by love. Walking in love is walking. It makes faith effortless. I heard the story from Oral Roberts. I heard a story about Oral Roberts, that when he carries a child in his hands, while praying in the healing days, revival days, he will ask himself, supposing this was my child, how will I pray for this child? How will I pray for this baby? And he will pray with such a passion, with such a love, with such a faith. And before you know it, there's a release of power and that child is made whole. Love. Walking in love is walking effortlessly in faith. And number three, walking in love qualifies people for the mercy
and intervention of God. He qualifies people for the mercy and intervention of God. Walking in love qualifies you for the mercy and intervention of God. In Psalm 18 verse 25, the Bible said, with the merciful, thou will show yourself merciful. So when you love, of course, you are merciful, you are kind, you are good. And with the merciful, God will show himself merciful. Job 42 verse 10, the Bible said that God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. The captivity of Job turned when he prayed for his friends. That was love. Job was praying for those who hated him, those who wished him evil, those who wished him all manner of terrible things. And as he prayed for them, God turned his captivity. I will stop with those three. In the next service, I'll take another three products of love, making them six altogether. And I believe it's a new day for somebody. I believe that the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of love, will work in us today and bring drastic results. Anybody who is blessed more than myself, say amen, or blessed as much as myself. How many of you believe that this word is practical and it's changed your life already? Stand on your feet with a shout of praise. Take your seat one more time so you can stand better. When you go home today, do you have anything to tell somebody from the message? Right, but please don't preach at somebody. Don't tell them, when the pastor was preaching, I was remembering you. You know, I think it was last Sunday when one man said, my organ need to hear this message. This message not for my organ. No, let all of us apply them to our lives. And our lives will change. Stand on your feet with a shout of praise. Lift your hands, lift your two hands. Appreciate God for his word to you. Appreciate him, honor him, adore him. Magnify him for his word to you. Lift your hands and lift your voice. Father, thank you. 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 Fakase kode la baharada sadada. Leke sete sete le ya ya hasada. Leke sete yada 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 hasata. Leko koza barada hasata. Lift your hands, lift your voice. Appreciate him, honor him, adore him, magnify him, worship him, worship him, glorify him, magnify him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elion. Thank you, El Gibor. Thank you, Rufika. Thank you, Mekadesh. We worship you today. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want somebody here today to pray and ask for the grace. And one of the things I'll trust God to do for us is for a baptism of the Spirit of love. So that you know that anything that will hurt you will hurt that person too. So you avoid it. One of the things that beats my imagination is how something belongs to someone. You went and carried it. You need it. And the person shouldn't have it. How? Man settled with his wife and children for 10 years, for 15 years. One tiny girl steps into that house, pushes out the man, the woman. Pushes out her children. And she inherits the man. And he's introducing him. Meet my husband. Say fire. My husband. What do you want? So you need him. And his wife doesn't need him. His children don't need him. How? It's possible to display a weakness where
you were tempted into wrong. But there is a difference between a weakness and wickedness. This is wickedness. This is not temptation. This is wickedness. Why? If you were the one that somebody comes and push, and I'm talking like this because I counsel every day. People send me messages from everywhere. Somebody said, my house help that I brought to the house has taken over my home. Life has taken over my home. House help that I brought into my house has taken over my home. My friend has taken over my home. No, it doesn't work like that. Walk in love, and God will give you your own. Your own that you will value. Your own that you will appreciate. Father, I am asking for the baptism of the spirit of love today. I ask for the baptism of the spirit of love today. Baptize me with the spirit of love. Lift your hands and your voice and say, Father, I ask for a baptism of the spirit of love today. Father, I receive deliverance from every trace of selfishness. I receive that deliverance now. Open your mouth and pray. Baptism of the spirit of love today. I receive that baptism today. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name. Take your seat 1 minute. We will. Give us a clip of the Zambian crusade if we have 2 or 3 minutes. Very, very sharp. Because of time, they did a 10-minute clip and we cannot watch all of that because of time this morning. But just show us what we can see if you have it. Again, like I said, Zambian church started today. Germany church, Frankfurt started today. Amsterdam, Holland starts next week.
Because the pattern is not followed.
The ministers' conference in the mornings. And then here is the leadership conference with the vice president of the country.
A major aim of leadership is that progress is made. There is a level of impact you will make that no insult can cancel. There is a level to which you touch the lives of people that nobody can be convinced otherwise.
Start by welcoming your grace and your dear wife to this meeting and to this nation of Zambia. I have learned so much, and I'll tell you Your grace, because I'm a politician, that I believe that even in politics, politics is a calling.
Yes.
If it is not, you are in trouble. You have to hear God. And if you have heard God, the principles, man of God, you have put here will be a lesson, a reminder every day. Leadership is everywhere. That's why we have gathered here. We are all leaders. Yes, you spoke to me. But what did he say to you?
Mama has not lifted her hand for 9 months. Are you just looking like that? See the Lord is saying, Holy Spirit. We wait on you. You came here crippled. You came here with your crutches lifted up. I can see crutches lifted and people are walking forward. If anybody is walking, don't let them come without a crutch. Leave the crutch, leave the stick, leave the walker and walk forward. Let's go. As the waters cover the seas. Lift up your hands. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and in verse 14. That child is sitting down, holding his neck, and sitting down for the first time in life. He only lies down. This child only lies down. For the first time in his life. How many of you heard the story of a wizard that was flying across the crusade ground, that landed physically as a person? Doesn't it look wizardry? Flying from another country, he was passing a no-flight zone. Hey! Hey! Somebody shout power! Look at your neighbor, say we have seen nothing yet. Don't miss Tuesday healing and deliverance service. It's going to be very, very strange and very, 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 very drastic. Tuesday coming. Lift up your hands now. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and in verse 14, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men shall fear before him. Whatever God does shall be forever. Lift your hands and say, Father, we ask that you will establish what you have done. And all that you did in Zambia in this weekend, we ask that you establish every act of yours in Zambia this week, Lord. Establish, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Pray, pray, pray. Establish, 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 establish everything you need. In Zambia, establish. Establish, establish. Establish. In the name of Jesus, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he said, Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions.
and over every power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We take authority over every satanic reprisals and counterattacks. Lift your hands in your face and say, Father. Louder, say, Father. We take authority over every satanic reprisals and counterattacks. In the name of Jesus, every reprisals and counterattacks from Zambia Crusade, we curse you, we reverse you, we return you back to hell. Oh, you counterattacks, the blood of Jesus is against you. You are neutralized now. Open your mouth and pray. We reverse the counterattack. We neutralize counterattack. Let us torture the Hazara. Let us separate the Hazara. Let us rotaza. Let us kalegiliara. Let us separate the Hazara. Satala la Mariana. Let us separate. Let us kukala ganida. Satala la Mariana. Let us tele verada da ganida. Let us seka lepa. Let us satala la Mariana. Satala la Hazara. Let us satala la Hazara. Let us satala la Mariana. In Jesus' precious name, the Lord has answered us in Jesus' name. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Everywhere you are. That's Zambia right there. Lift your hands higher.
up your hands. I see the release of the spirit of love.
Now, don't forget that that spirit of love is God himself.
And when God steps into your life, affliction can't stay. Pain can't stay. Hatred cannot stay. Bitterness cannot stay. Unforgiveness cannot stay. But I see an impartation of the spirit of love that will change someone's life drastically. Change someone's destiny. Change someone's story. Lift your hands and receive it. Are you ready? When I say in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream, I receive. And place your hands on your head. And something shall drop. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream, I receive. And something shall drop. Father, let it drop. And right in the dream of the night, someone who found himself or herself missing road and missing direction, following a tortuous path, every such agenda of directionlessness for your life is arrested right now. And everyone who came in here with any form of pain and pressure and tension, it is over right now. The spirit of vengeance shall not locate you. You shall fulfill your days and fulfill your destiny. The powers of hell will never locate you. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. Now lift up your hands. When I say in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you place your hands on your head and scream at the top of your voice, I receive, and let the spirit of love, the spirit of God, step into your body. Are you ready? In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3. And give him the praise. Give him the adoration. Something just happened to you. And this love that you have received of God is changing your life. As you proceed and put it into practice, I see things changing in your life. And I see the merciful God releasing mercy in your direction and changing your life stories. You believe that? Say loud, amen. Like us to do a song of celebration while we receive testimonies from 2 or 3 people. One person's knee has just been healed and a back is healed. And an ear has just been opened and a terrible condition in the head has just been healed. And somebody just came out of the pit and came out of the grave. And somebody just received light of direction. Anywhere you are, something happened to you in this service. While the preaching was on, he sent forth his word and healed them. You got a healing. You got a deliverance. Quickly rush to the front here and let's see what happened. The rest of us, you can take your seat. Celebration.
You alone at work to be praised.
Check your knees. The pressure in the chest is gone. Divine encounters. Fast, also, you'll be very, very fast.
You are worthy to be praised. You alone.
shout of praise. Very, very quickly, Early Will ICQ is on throughout the week. The Tuesday service I just announced ahead of time is going to be very, very, very drastic, supernatural. We trust God for great things. Wednesday, we are back up in this character matter. I'm going to take this love issue to the next level. If you don't attend midweek service, attend this one. If this message touches your life, ensure you are there so that you can receive further instructions on this subject of love. Then next Sunday, we'll take another character. Please ensure that you finish it up by this Wednesday. And the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Saturday, home church in the morning, and then in the evening, neighborhood evangelism in the morning. In the evening, we have the home church coming on. Coming Sunday is going to be an impartation service. Any document and anything you want God to impart and touch for you, you come with them this coming Sunday, and the Lord will bless them for you. Somebody say aloud, amen. While I'm going on ahead, everyone who is a member of Dunamis Home Church, wave your hands and let me see you. You're a member of the Dunamis Home Church. God bless you, and God use it. The other day, I felt so touched when one of the home church members or someone was on admission, I think, in Garki Hospital. And they called me, the host and the leader called me, and I prayed for the person in that situation. And I believe that he's okay right now. But the host, the leader, told me she has been with the man in the hospital since 2 a.m. That is what home church is about. 2 a.m. in the middle of the night, a call was made, and there they rushed to stand by a member who was challenged and were there until they received my call. Beloved brothers and sisters, that is what church is all about. That is what family is all about. That is what care is all about. Please, all other home cell leaders, do likewise. All other hosts, do likewise. Whenever there is a call, just rush there. Let our people know that they have people. Don't let the world look at them as people who left the world and they are now in church and church does not care for them. Please, let's do that. I was so touched. She said, I have been here since 2 a.m. That was very touching. This is what it is all about. I've heard many of such testimonies of the home cell. Now, if you are not yet a member, you may not be able to be reachable because nobody knows that you were there. The church is very big, and if you are not located in a home, we may not be able to reach out to you when we need to. So if you are not yet a member of the home cell, can you lift up your hands? Or you want to become a member of the, you are not a member of the home cell, lift up your hands. They'll give you a form. That form, you will fill it and then submit the form at the end of the service, either to the usher or to the home church desk right there. Lift up your hands and receive the form, and the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. All those who are members of the home cell, can you wave your hand? Let me see you. All right. God bless you. Now, one call that I will never turn down is a home cell call, as much as my schedule permits. Or I'm passing by the corridor and they say, this is a host or a member of home cell they brought. I'm arrested on the spot, and I pray for them on the spot. Why? Because if they have shown enough commitment to be planted in the house of the Lord, then they require the same level of commitment for attention to them. That is how it is. I believe that the Lord will help us in Jesus' precious name. Now, in addition to that, how many of us are hosts of the home cell? Your house is a location. I pray that the blessing of the Lord will rest upon those homes in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. And if you want to give us your home as a branch of Dunamis Church, that is what a home cell is, you can lift up your hand and then they'll give you a form as well. You have a home that you want to give to Dunamis Church as a branch of the church in your house, and then you lift up your hands and you will be given. Father, thank you for everyone here today. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tell me what happened.
Sir, our sister Keith said for 6 months she has had this excruciating headache, migraine, and she came with it to the church. She was like even holding her head.
But and what happened?
And she said, place your hand on your head and say, receive. Sir, the entire pain disappeared.
Put up your hands. Father, thank you. It is over. Anyone who came in here, you see, pain is not something that people should joke with. Anyone who came in here with any trace of pain in any part of your life, I declare the pain is arrested and returned to hell.
Amazing, sir. This was our elder that was lying down there. Yes. He said, there was a situation where he had to go for screening of the chiefdom of his community. That very day, he came first, and that very day came home and fainted. Every two days he faints. He came here with the same fainting spell. He says, you look at him when they wanted to rouse him up. You look at him, fire entered him, and the painting
spell disappeared.
Return back to hell.
You know, ushers, when people are, when we are doing praise worship, and somebody is lying down, in an attitude of worship, provided he's lying down, fully conscious, right? You just let him there. Because, one, what he feels at that time may be worship. Number two, he may need energy. And he's using that platform to relax until he regains his strength. Do you understand? You don't know why some are just lying down. That's why I told them, leave him there. That is in case of next time. And you have seen the mystery now. He's having fainting spell. Is it better for him to faint without his consciousness or for him to lie down by himself? Isn't it better? And now it is returned back to hell. Every demonic arrow fired into your body, back to hell from where it came. In Jesus' name, you are well. Give me two or three more, then we'll go for the sake of time.
Sister Anne had a scuffle with a demon last night in a dream and woke up with a severe chest pain. As we shouted, I receive. Say, a bird flew out of her chest.
Place chest. Place your hand on yourself, people, and say, every stranger in my life, on your mask, get set, back to hell. Every stranger in your body returns back to hell.
So this is Sister Juliet Mathias. 2 days ago, she had a dream where a friend was driving her in a tricycle, and all of a sudden, the tricycle had an accident, and she woke up from that encounter with a massive chest pain. In that condition, she stepped into the service, but as the scream of I received, that pain disappeared completely.
Give the Lord a praise. You are permanently healed. In Jesus' precious name.
As Sister Ruth has had difficulty breathing for the past 1 month, but this morning as she shouted, she discovered she
could. Give the Lord a praise. That difficulty returns back to hell. Yes.
At the shout of I receive, our sister saw herself in chain, and God, using the face of his servant, came loosing the chain and said, go free.
Everyone who came in here with any form of captivity, are you ready for that? I declare the chain broken. Every form of captivity, that chain is broken.
Please come. Sir, this is Brother Salahuddin. He was an unbeliever as of 3 weeks ago. He came to this church 3 weeks ago. After a particular affliction killed 4 persons in their family.
Wow.
Yes, sir. That is a very hot sensation in the body to just come upon them, and that is death. So he came in, gave his life to Christ, and today, as we shouted and received, said the strange spirit left him, and the hotness.
What killed others in your family cannot kill you. Are you ready to hear that? Every satanic cycle, family cycle, every negative pattern of your father's house today, the pattern is broken. Celebrate 1 minute as they dance back to their seat.
Worthy, worthy, Lord, you are worthy. Worthy, worthy, Lord, you are worthy. Worthy, worthy, Lord, you are worthy.
Anybody remember that song? Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Before we move to the next level, everyone here this morning, in need of surrender to Jesus. You want your sins forgiven. You heard the word. You want to receive forgiveness from El Shaddai. Quickly, carry your Bibles, carry your bags, and rush to the front here right now. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want your sins forgiven. And you are saying, Pastor, pray for me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I'll give you the count of 10, and I want you to run forward here. 1. Two. Don't be the last person to come. Be the first. 3.
Let come what may. The Holy Spirit.
4. 5. 6.
are bound by an addiction, bad lifestyle, drinking, smoking, womanizing, prostitution, anything it is that you are not happy with and you want the yoke broken, come forward again. I'll give you the count of 10. 1.
My mind made up.
2. Chairs, all of you standing, crowd of people, and say after me, Lord Jesus, I come before you today to surrender my life to you. Today I have decided to follow you, Jesus, no turning back, forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The yoke is broken. Grace to live for God is released upon you in Jesus' precious name. It is done.